Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith. It's good that you could be with us here this morning. For those of you that have watched something going on here, just back a few minutes for service, Dr. Miller's going to be okay. So we're grateful for that. We're just to get some things taken care of here this morning, but he is going to be okay. If you were with us for our Advent meal and worship Wednesday night, and by the way, those continue now for the next 3 weeks. Over in our Christian Life Center, we've got a meal this coming Wednesday at 6:30, worship at 7:15. You got introduced to these, our Advent devotional booklets, but if you did not, we have some in the back this morning. The one this year is called Love Came Down, and down in the lower corner, we have the name and address of our church, and inside on page 2, we have a whole bunch of information about our church, which means that, yes, well, you can take a copy for yourself, and the devotions in here start this morning. You're also welcome to take as many copies of these as you need for friends, co-workers, neighbors, whatever the case might be. Also have some large print editions, and if there's somebody that needs large print, by all means, take some of those. And if we have to print some more, we have to print some more, but these will then take us through. They not only go through the Advent season, but also right up to the day of Epiphany. So help yourself to copy these. These are always pleasant to have with us this morning. Also, if you're with us this morning, whether you signed up or not, we invite you to stay after worship. We've got pizza that'll be on the way here. It should be here in about an hour and 10 minutes. And we've got some hanging of the greens. The more people we have to help, the less time it's going to take, and then we can just spend some time fellowshipping with each other with some pizza. Because as you can see, the trees are already up. Now, we've got to put chrismans and some other things on these trees, but there's far less work to do than what one might think. It all goes up. We've got people that are going to be here to help show where the different things are going to be put up. So, again, whether you plan on it or not, just please stick around after late church if you can just a few minutes and help us with the hanging of the greens, and then we'll have pizza once that's all done. Regarding worship, for those of you that even occasionally come to Saturday night worship, we are going to be having Saturday worship. Like, for example, the day before Christmas Eve, the day before New Year's Eve, there will be 5 o'clock church on the 16th, the 23rd, and the 30th of December, but not this coming week. This coming week here on the 9th of December, worship is taking place during the Newport Richey Christmas Parade. Our Faith Factor is going to have a float in the parade, and they'd like to invite you to come on down and join watching them, supporting them, and then also just having the fun of watching a Christmas parade this time of year. It's a beautiful time of year to be able to do something like that. And so, no worship. We'll make sure we have got some signs up on the building here for Saturday night to have everybody come down and join us. But then, for the remainder of the month, then we will have 5 o'clock worship. We have a lot of activities, events, and things that are going on here for Christmas and the weeks to come. Please take the opportunity to look at all of that in your bulletins as you have an opportunity. Pie Sale Part 2 is continuing today, and the poinsettia order blank is due very, very soon. Okay, please let us know that you were here filling out those Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you this morning. So our order of worship this morning is a service of prayer and preaching with the sacrament. It does not begin with a hymn and the greeting of the peace. We move just a little ways into the service. So we're going to begin here with a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship today. And then we will begin either on the bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3 in your service folders, or you may follow along on the screen. May the Lord bless us as we prepare for his coming again. As you are able, please stand. As we begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is the day which the Lord has made, from the rising of the sun to its setting, out of Zion. The perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Prepare the way of the Lord. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness. from the rising of the sun to its setting. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Let us confess our sins to God our Father, beginning with the time for silent prayer. With confidence in Christ, we confess our sins to God our Father together. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, creator of all things, judge of all people, we admit and confess our sinfulness. We have not always put our trust firmly in you. We have transgressed your commandments in our thinking, speaking, and doing. We have done the evil you forbid and have not done the good you demand. We do repent and are truly sorry for these our sins. Have mercy on us, gracious Father, because of the atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Forgive us all that is sinful and broken in our lives. By the power of the Holy Spirit, move us to serve you in confident faith. Set our feet upon the new path of life and build your kingdom here through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our gracious God has promised forgiveness of sins to those who repent and turn to him, trusting his mercy and grace. May he keep you steadfast in the Holy Spirit, lead you to greater faith and obedience, and finally bring you to live with him forever. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Redeemed, restored, and ready to serve our Lord, let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 2 Peter chapter 3. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The apostle writes, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. He shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit." Before we're seated, let's confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." You may be seated. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Even as we're going to be talking about John the Baptizer, the beginning of the Gospel of St. Mark this morning, hear these words again from the second letter of St. Peter. "Since all these things are thus, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for the hastening, the coming of the day of God? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace." You may be seated. Friends, on New Year's Eve, as we celebrate the 60th anniversary of Faith Lutheran Church, our special guest preacher, he's the third vice president of our church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is also a Palestinian-born LCMS Lutheran, an individual who lived walking the paths that Jesus walked. And so for him to provide me some pictures that shows some of the area, both up close and far away, is not much more difficult than asking one of you for pictures of one of our area beaches. Not hard to get. So the first picture that I've shown up here is just a close-up of the Jordan River. And you can see that, you know, especially up there in the region around Galilee, it's not a tremendously impressive river. It's kind of small, but that is indeed where John the Baptizer was doing his baptizing. Now, here is a bigger area of where he preached. Up at the top there's kind of the Judean wilderness from which he came from, but you can see there is a road that follows the basic path of the Jordan River, and the river is inside of that, there in blue. Not easy to see, not much, but that's what John did. Here's another picture from another spot here. And again, the Jordan River following right through the middle of the picture. The Judean wilderness way in the background, but the land in some of those areas is quite rich, able to be able to sustain farm fields and whatever else. And then finally, here is one of the villages by which people from Jerusalem and the entire Judean countryside came and were baptized by John in the River Jordan. It is from this place here that John the Baptizer honored the greatness of Jesus with humility. Now, the first thing we hear about John is, and it's interesting how Mark begins his gospel. He really is the only one that kind of identifies it. Here is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But then from there, he seems to skip right past a lot of the stuff that we're used to talking about. In Matthew, where it starts by showing how Jesus truly is the Son of David by going through the genealogical lines that lead from David all the way to his father Joseph. And then comes the portion of where the angel visited Joseph. Then comes the story of the wise men and the trip to Egypt. Luke is even better known. In Luke chapter 1, we see the story of John the Baptizer, you know, being born to Zacharias and Elizabeth as the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias in the temple. And then later appears to Mary to let her know that she is going to be the mother of the Christ child. And then in the midst of all of those things there, we have the Gospel of John, who starts most interesting. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, after Mark does this, he goes right into the message about John the Baptizer. And Mark, in his gospel, wastes no time. He goes right into the story. And his favorite word throughout the gospel is the word immediately. And right away, Jesus was doing this. It shows a Jesus that was extremely busy. And we're going from place to place, from story to story, until the time of Jesus' crucifixion, when Mark's story is as long as anyone's, a Mark that is otherwise significantly shorter than the other Gospels. So, here it is. John the Baptizer appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A very, very special thing in which right away he is sharing something very important that has survived into Christianity, but also what it's all about is for confession. There we go. And he hearkens right into who he is. That person that Isaiah speaks about, the voice that cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, this I just kind of did off the first picture because you'll notice right away how famous John became. That people, that it seemed like Jerusalem was emptying out to go out and see him. And the entire Judean countryside went and saw him. And even the religious leaders, although they had a very different motive in mind, were going out to, shall we say, check this person out. And most likely what the deal was, at least in part, you know, there was that time when prophets were, in the Old Testament, were visiting the people of the children of Israel. Prophets, judges, kings, and other leaders that were named. And the people saw a lot of that, but not for several hundred years now. Things had gone quiet, and all of a sudden, here comes this individual who is proclaiming that not only is the Messiah coming soon, but he even started saying, he's among you right now. You don't know him, and I didn't know him, but he's here. Get ready. And then from there, we see. It talks a little bit about John the Baptizer's clothing and diet, which I think is simply a way of making it clear. You know, Mark's not going to put it in there just to kind of titillate our fancies, if you will, but to let us know that John would let nothing stand in the way, not opulence, not anything that's going to get in the way of what he's in this world to do, to prepare the people for the coming of Jesus. But as John is doing in the River Jordan right now, what he hardly ever did standing alone, what is John the Baptizer pointing at? Or more specifically, who is he pointing at? That's probably an easy question because everything that John was about Jesus. A Jesus who was getting ready to begin his earthly ministry amongst these same people. And whereas they went out to see John, Jesus was going to be coming into their midst, community by community. Yes, John honored the greatness of Jesus who was about to come with deep humility. And he did so by his desire to serve God. Wherever and however the Lord has need of him, whatever it is that he needs to do, he's going to do it. And that means that he also is going to respect God's calling as the forerunner of Christ. Now, he was not afraid to make it clear who he is not. No, I am not the Christ, but I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. He understood that. He embraced it. He made it clear that, yes, this is what I need to be doing on your behalf. And it became obvious in certain ways. First of all, in his preaching. He was not afraid in the midst of his messages to stop and point at the Jewish religious leaders and say, you are nothing but a brood of vipers. A pit of snakes, if you will. People that from the beginning have had nothing but evil in your hearts. Here are people that are coming to confess their sins. And what are you doing? Doing exactly what in just a few short years they would be doing to Jesus. Trying to find something wrong with this person. No, John wasn't afraid of anybody. He wasn't afraid of governmental leaders. He went right after King Herod and said, you got no business being with this woman. That's your brother's wife. And eventually, that person that King Herod was married to, though he should not have been, made sure that John the Baptist lost his life over it. But John was going to let nothing stand in the way of making sure that the truth was getting out. And that was also true in his living. You know, he would have been raised, at least for a time, by Zacharias and Elizabeth. But you do remember that those folks were old. There's little doubt that by the time John is on the scene, his parents are long dead. And so he doesn't have any kind of a fancy life. He's out in the wilderness, not a good place always to be. a place that is filled, in fact, with danger, but that his trust is in the living God that he's serving as the forerunner to that Lord's Son. And so then he is going to do. He's going to prepare the way of the Lord. And so he's going to honor greatness with humility then by making sure it was God who was giving, being given the glory. He would always be able to say, get your hearts ready. Because when the Savior comes, he's got something fantastic that he wants to share, but we need to be ready for it. Just as in the same way we would want to receive a special guest by making sure if we're going to clean things up a little bit in our house, by having something extra special waiting for him, by being on our best behavior. He wanted people to be ready for that. And finally, he made the life and symbols of the light of what eventually became the Christian life relevant, beginning with the waters of holy baptism, while making it clear that far more and better was yet to come. Hey, I baptize you with water, but the one who is coming, and this is because he'll have had the benefit of dying on the cross, of paying the price for our sins. And from that point on then, baptism becomes a baptism of fire, a baptism of the Holy Spirit of in which the power of faith is brought with it each and every time. Yes, that is how John honors greatness with humility. Okay, how do we honor the greatness of Jesus? Well, here's one thing. It says, obviously, as we also give glory to Jesus rather than ourselves. How? Well, let's start here in worship. I don't know what it is that has brought us to worship. Some, this is where we want to be. We just can't imagine being anywhere else and good for you. Sometimes, we come in with hearts that are heavy. Hearts that are heavy because of our sins. Hearts that are heavy because there's someone in life that we are very worried about. And we need to take it to the Lord in prayer. And while all those things are important and good, whatever it is that we come in with, the Lord sends to us 20,000 times fold to make sure that what we go out with is far more than we came in with. If we come in burdened by sins, we leave forgiven. If we come in with prayer requests, we leave having them answered. If we have questions about the Word of God, hopefully we get those questions answered. But we make sure that all the glory is God's. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Also, look at this. Okay, the people came confessing their sins. You know, they understood that if they were going to be baptized by John, no sense keeping it inside. Let it out where it can be dispensed with. And we have a Savior who died for those sins. If the people can do that in the setting of John, how much more should each of us be doing that? Don't let those sins burden you from inside. Take them to Jesus, who has already paid the price for them. And know this, that because Jesus died on the cross, the things that John talked about, the purpose that he was in this world to prepare the way of the Lord, that way's already been prepared. I don't know how many of you have ever paid attention to how a road is being constructed. Now, I don't mean just the simple repaving. They take off the old pavement off the top of the road and then they put in a new coat and seal it somehow or another. I don't mean that. From building a road that needs to be completely built where they've got to make sure that there's a good foundation to the road, that even if in the years to come, if there's going to be inches of rain, that it's not going to affect the road because it is on such a good base. Because even a little dip can be very dangerous to traffic as it goes by. But in the case of Jesus, because he died on the cross, the way has already been prepared, made straight. The lines have been painted. The signs have been put up. Everything is ready to go. So what now? Remember the last verse that I read a second time. Since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. That's a hard thing sometimes, especially as we go into this time of year, to be at peace with one another. But that is, if we are going to honor the greatness of Jesus with humility, that is what we must do. And that is what we will certainly want to do. Also, we respond to the messages of Advent. That's why we begin the church year, not at Christmas, but at Advent. A series of four Sundays and weeks so that we can prepare our hearts and minds, not only to get us into the spirit of Christmas by the time it arrives, but to prepare our hearts when Jesus returns again. And the messages of Advent are just as important as the messages of John the Baptist. Jesus is coming again soon. So we say and we pray, come Lord Jesus, and we make that part of our lives. We also recognize him who really is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Back at that time, it may have been the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem that came to visit and see who this John the Baptizer was, but in terms of the space that they took up compared to the entire globe of the world, it wasn't much. It still could have been much, much, much more. By the same token, it would seem like the gathering of Christians, even though we understand that there are always far more people that call on our Lord and Savior than what we understand, than what we expect, as we somehow allow ourselves to get just a little bit down, a little bit pessimistic, a little bit objectionable that there's hardly anybody left that calls on the name of the Lord still. As those people gather together in the way that we gather together this morning, we're not taking up a lot of space, and it seems like we're taking it up less and less. Friends, as God's chosen messengers, we also can take serious how to start reversing that, getting more and more people to understand the Lord is coming soon. And then finally, in all the years I've been in ministry, there's only been one time when I had with me a second pastor. And he started off as an intern, as a vicar. Eventually, he became then the associate pastor. But almost from the day that he became a pastor, whether I understood it or not, these words just kept ringing in my mind over and over again. He must increase, but I must decrease. John said that once. And indeed, John was preparing his people for the fact that one day it was going to be all Jesus, and John was going to be removed from the scene. And as I began to understand that eventually that took place, that I was being prepared for my own departure from that congregation that I was in, John prepared his people by at some point telling them, look, there he is, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then later, not long before he lost his life, bringing his own disciples to him and having them go to Jesus and say, are you the Christ or should we look for another? To let it be known that, oh no, no, that person you've been waiting for, there he is. And once John loses his life, the whole purpose of John was to prepare everybody and certainly his disciples to become Jesus' disciples. Well, friends, we also, in a time of life where we're going through difficult times and maybe we're decreasing for a different reason, we remember that the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient for each of us, and we prepare our hearts for what God has given to us, because as Jesus is coming again soon, we're expecting him, we're excited for his arrival, and we know that the coming of the Lord as it takes place is going to come so that he can take us to his heavenly home. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, let's receive our offerings, and at the conclusion of the offering, the ushers will be collecting those faith fellowship. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the gift of divine peace and of pardon with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord. For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord. For guests in worship today, that Christ bless their lives in the hearing of the word with faith, in understanding and joy, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who continue to bring the light of Christ into places of darkness, calling people to repentance, and teaching Jesus Christ and his saving love, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the world around us, for the nations in conflict, for those who are victims of hate and violence, and for good and faithful leaders, to guide the nations and the people in paths of justice, goodness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all the sick, those who suffer, grieving in their loss, the dying in their last days. We pray on behalf of Adele Burke, hospitalized at Bayonet Point. We pray on behalf of Dr. Miller. We pray on behalf of Margaret de Blasi, who's having surgery late this week. And now those who we name before the Lord in our hearts, that they may know healing, comfort, and peace according to God's gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord. For our own lives, that we may show forth Christ's light in faithful words of witness and show forth his love in faithful acts of love and mercy to our neighbor, let us pray to the Lord. For wisdom and discernment, that the fading glory of this world may neither tempt nor deceive us from the true glory of Christ, crucified and risen, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Fully dependent on your faithfulness, generosity, and graciousness, we entrust all for whom we pray to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our liturgy concludes at the top of page 10 or on the screen as we conclude by praying together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that not only do you call us to repentance, but you also give us the gifts of repentance and forgiveness that we might live as your redeemed people. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thanks for joining us. We hope you can stick around and help us for just a few moments here. We've got pizza that'll be arriving here shortly. But whatever it is, friends, join us also for our Advent services Wednesday nights. Remember, no service this coming Saturday night. And one final thing is that next Sunday is our Fellowship Sunday. My wife and I will, as we do in the month of December, we'll be hosting that fellowship. We hope you can join us then too. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.